Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Niven takes the snap and drops to the knee in victory formation as the clock reaches 105 and continues to count down in this 36-20 lead for the Patriots, who will improve to 2-1. While the Raiders will fall to 2-1, and the Pats will then prepare to go to Kansas City, try to keep up with the Chiefs and win at Arrowhead late next Sunday afternoon.
And that's how the Patriots game ended. We have a Rodenheiser take, Mass?
We do. Hot takes brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. Just to your point about how the Raiders gave the game away more than the Patriots won it, which is half the battle in that league, for crying out loud. I'm still worried about the Patriot defense. They gave up 5.7 yards a rush in that game yesterday. Every time the Raiders ran, they were getting 5 or 6 up the middle every single time. Like, in a lot of ways, I don't look at the Patriots after yesterday and feel any better about them. So now you got Kansas City coming this week, best offense in the league. You know, Seattle was able to throw the ball on you. You know,
you don't see some signs of life from some young players on that team?
Sure, a little bit. Yeah.
Winovich,
Dietrich Wise, you know, there's some guys like that up front I've been impressed with. Gilmore, I'm starting to get a little concerned.
So Winovich I like. I mean, but again, he's more of a pass rusher.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that?
No, nothing. I just think that they're getting run over in the middle. Run over. They got run over in the Seattle game. They got run over in this game. Like, so this is, now, I don't know if Kansas City wants to run or not. I don't think so. I think Kansas City wants to throw. And but the secondary didn't play well against Seattle. So now you have another test. The defense, to me, I'm still not sold on. I'm worried about the defense.
That touchdown that they gave up with like 30 seconds or whatever the hell it was before the end of the half that reminded me of the bad old days pre-Belichick. Like, that shouldn't happen. That's inexcusable. And a lot of that had to do with the DPI on Gilmore, okay, who's been racking them up.
So we can get on Gilmore for the DPI. That Renfro catch, that was pretty good.
I like that kid.
I don't know, but I sort of chalked that up to the Seattle thing where, like, the coverage is right there. He put it right on the spot. The kid made an incredible catch. Like, I don't know. It's the blown coverages and getting clearly beat that I would get concerned about. I think the pass defense is going to be fine. I really do.
Yeah, I'm worried about the overall thing because
if some of these guys, if Winovich, if they can start getting a little bit of heat up front, I think they're going to be okay passing game-wise. You're right, they've gotten run on.
Oh, so that's what I'm worried about. And then I worry about, do people have to cheat up if they're getting steamrolled like that? And does that then open up a big play for someone like Gilmore to get beat down the field? And maybe it is a good quarterback and a good receiver who beat you. I'm not interested in beating the bad teams. I'm interested in beating the good ones.
No, I understand. I'm starting with taking the wins that you would have gotten, all these years. And that's how I chalk up yesterday. That was a classic Belichick Patriots win. Sit there and let the other team just flame out, and then they run out of bullets, and the next thing you know, you steamroll them, and you're coasting to a victory that in the beginning looked like you might get run out of the building. And that's sort of how I felt. And I'll circle back to the details on that, but let's get back to the phones here again on a re-entry Monday. Sebastian in Tampa on the Celts. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Hi. I think the problem that nobody is addressing about the Celtics is coaching. I think Brad Stevens can't coach big name players in this league, and he's shown it the last 4 years, getting to the conference finals and then just the team crapping their pants. So I think the Celtics should seriously consider firing Brad Stevens this offseason.
Okay, Sebastian, let me just stop you because I disagree. I think Stevens is good enough to win a championship with. That's how I feel. I don't feel he's anything special and is going to take you somewhere you shouldn't go, though. Shouldn't go. All right. So like that, like that's where I would stop with the you know, the Brad Botts and all of this. Like, they found some sort of special whiz kid out of college that's going to take him to the next level, and they found the next big thing. He's not that. It probably doesn't exist in that spot, as Maz will tell you 1,000 times over. The coaching just doesn't matter in that league. So I would say Brad Stevens is just another good NBA coach, which means very little.
Exactly. So exactly. I mean, again, as you just said, he's not the guy who, like, whiz kid will take over the top. Name one who was.
There isn't.
It doesn't exist.
I mean, Spoelstra, I think, was a difference in this series. So can a coach help you win a series? Sure. I haven't seen Brad do that yet, but I think a good coach can make the difference. When the teams are close like this, Maz, I think the coaching can make a difference.
So the one that...
If Spoelstra wins the next one, then that...
Now we're talking.
Like, that almost never happens. If the Heat win the next one on coaching and scheme and toughness, like, that is super rare to win a championship like that. And then maybe you go back to, well, this is a bubble and it's a certain, you know, special circumstance. Because, again, pre-pandemic, they're going to win an NBA title out of the 5 seed.
No shot.
Going on the road in the first round, no. Second round, third round, the NBA finals?
No chance.
No chance.
No chance. So the only one I can think of that I would put close is Dallas beating Miami with Nowitzki and Jason Kidd and Rick Carlisle.
Still, Dallas had the MVP that year.
Right. It's not like they had some bum. I mean, and they had mismatches at the two spots where Miami had a problem. Those Miami teams back when LeBron didn't have a big man at that time, and they didn't have a point guard. So you have Jason Kidd and Dirk Nowitzki, and Miami didn't have answers, and it was a problem the whole series. But other than that, it really comes down to the players. So, like, I'm not telling you I think Stevens is the greatest thing ever. But he's not the problem.
He's a good X's and O's guy, but I think the caller's right to bring up whether or not he can handle big personalities. I think he's proven that he can't so far. He couldn't do it with Kyrie, and some of these kids head with big egos now, whether that's Brown, Tatum, Smart, the three of them all together. Like,
but who can? You think Vogel in L.A. can get...
No way.
If LeBron decides to turn on the a-hole faucet, you think Vogel's going to be able to do anything?
No, he'll get Ty LaRude.
He's going to get... There's nothing he can do. Who's a poor schmuck they hired in Brooklyn?
Ty Lue.
No, like, he's toast.
Well, now it's Rick Nash, isn't it?
Oh, no, Steve, Rick, Nash. Nash. Steve Nash. Steve Nash. Steve Nash.
Who Kyrie hates.
He's port. Steve Nash is port. There's nothing he can do. And if the young guys in the Celtics locker room just don't get it, there's nothing Stevens can do. There's nothing he can do.
Boy, I'll tell you, Kyrie and Nash is going to be good because Kyrie is going to look at him and say, what position did you play?
Yeah. Steve, well, I'm third all time in assists. I never heard of you, man. What does government mean to you, Steve? Steve in Vermont, another Steve on the Patriots. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Maz, did you say before the season started you were all in because of Belichick?
No, that's me.
Oh, sorry.
But I'll take credit for it.
Okay. Well, anyways, I 100% agree with you. You know, Belichick has been the best coach over the past 20 years. Other coaches, they coach against him. They crap their pants. They make stupid penalties. Patriots don't make stupid penalties. That's why it doesn't matter if it's Brady, Castle, or Cam Newton. They're still going to be good. I predicted 10-6.
Okay, they're still going to be good. And they're still going to win the regular season games. That's how I felt. Get back to me in the playoffs, you know. Then I think the quarterbacking play, he's going to put you over the top, and then that's when the rubber's going to meet the road. But I'm telling you, so far this year, whether it was Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, or Tony Maserati, they're 2-1. And yesterday, it wasn't even this like overt puking on themselves thing by the Raiders. It was just little stuff early in that game.
A lot of nicks and cuts.
Little nicks and cuts, and they added up to the point where they just capitulated. And it happened throughout the first half into that first series of the third quarter. And finally, the Pats said, all right, are you done regurgitating into your own mouth? Now we're just going to steamroll you. And that was the ball game. And
don't forget the missed field goal, too, by the way.
Oh, no, it's on my list. Look, this is how the ball game started. Pats get the ball 3-and-out. Vegas holds them. No problem. Vegas gets the ball. They false start on second down. 2nd and 15 behind the chains. They don't recover. Pats get the ball back. Vegas holds them to 3-and-out. Pats line up to punt. Vegas jumps off sides. Pats get the ball back. Vegas holds them 3-and-out. Vegas totally controlling this thing early in the game. Vegas gets the ball back. They drive it right down your Schmenzer. They pick up a 3rd and 3 inside your 5-yard line, but their offensive lineman goes illegally downfield. Bring it back. Field goal instead of touchdown. Pats get the ball back. Vegas picks you off. Vegas then picks up. The drive before was the fumble. They drive it right down your Schmenzer and Jacobs fumbles, yeah. Okay, which was also a bad call. But either way, they drive it right down, then they fumble. Pats get the ball back. Vegas intercepts you. Now Vegas gets a first down inside the 5-yard line, but an illegal man downfield penalty brings that one back. Okay? So, like, how many points have they just left on the board? 11?
Oh, at least.
Okay, something like that. Then the Pats finally get going, helped by a 15-yard face mask penalty on Vegas.
Right.
Really helped the Patriots' first field goal position. Vegas gets a ball back, strip sack. Pats strip sack David Carr. Then they play out the half. Vegas gets this all set up for the perfect hairpin turn, double score at the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third, except the guy misses the field goal.
41-yarder.
So it's like you add all those up, Vegas has left somewhere between 12 and 21 points on the board. The Pats haven't done all that much. But meanwhile, Vegas they've probably fired all their bullets. The Pats offensive line takes over, and that's the ballgame.
Oh, once they got rolling, that was it. That was the end of it. And that field goal, oh, man. Patriots are up 13-3. They get the touchdown at the end of the half, as you said, and then if they kick the field goal, now it's a dead heat. Instead, they miss. Patriots go the other way. You're down 10. Bye-bye.
Ball game. Yeah.
See you later.
So it's like, just get the snap count right, and you're going to win a certain amount of games in this league. And we mentioned before, the Pats haven't had a single dead ball foul, except so we went back and looked at it. They did have a delay a game on a punt against Miami.
Right, but I think it was deliberate.
So we think it was deliberate. We didn't go back and look at it, but I'm pretty sure it was deliberate. And then Butler did jump off sides on the goal line in the second quarter yesterday that Vegas nullified.
Declined, right.
So they've had no accepted pre-snap penalties except for that delay of game, which we think was intentional. Who has the fewest amount of penalties in the league, Mass?
Patriots. Seven. Seven penalties for the Patriots, the fewest number in the league.
And only one pre-snap, and we think it was deliberate.
Correct.
And so...
Actually, that one doesn't even count because... it's only accepted penalties. So they've had seven accepted penalties.
The delay game was also not accepted?
No, the delay game was accepted. I thought you meant the Butler one. I'm sorry.
The delay is a pre-snap penalty.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So, but
that was deliberate, correct.
But either way, I mean, I think the point, the point holds. You know, and Brady and Tampa, how many penalties does they have?
23.
They're okay, so mess. Like, it's like...
Fourth most in the league.
And they look better yesterday, but this is what people just don't... I keep going back to it. We, the weapons, they have 23 penalties in three games. You have seven. That's going to make a difference in the win-loss. So when you talk about what you're surrounded by, you have to include the coaching and the program and the brain power and discipline of the team around you.
The Patriots have seven penalties of the year. Tampa had nine in week one.
Isn't that unbelievable? So this is what we're talking about. This is what I think was at play yesterday, as well as a really good offensive line, as well as good play by your running back. I'm not telling you like you totally sucked, but I think the win yesterday started by you just getting the snap count right. That's why I would start with yesterday's victory. Here's a quick break, and we're back with more.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger Mass. Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics got to play some defense. It's mind-boggling to me in a game where it's lose or go home, the effort on the defensive end. You would think the offense would come secondary, but they're just giving up dunks, layups, threes. The Heat are getting pretty much anything they want. So if the Celtics don't want to leave the bubble early, mm-hmm. they're going to have to shut down on defense because this is just too easy in a game to where it's win or go home.
After his former team last night. So true. What did Miami shoot on the night?
Oh, it was over 50%.
I mean, it was
in the first half, I think it was 55%. It was outrageous.
So what the heck is that?
Horrible defense.
Is that choking or just thinking they're going to waltz to victory? Or
I think they borderline quit last night, if you want to know the truth.
See, to me, the choking is they get down in the fourth and they come down the floor and shoot an early three.
Bombs away.
Like, that's sort of... That's, I feel, how they choke. But you think it was a quit factor last night, Mass?
A little bit. Because, again, to me, the defense is all effort. It's all effort. It's about running to spots and making switches quickly. And so now, the only thing I'll say is that in the first half, I don't know that Miami was a ton better defensively in the first half. In fact, I felt like the first two or three quarters that both teams were kind of just, we're going to save our legs for the end. That's how the game felt to me. And, you know, neither team opened up any sort of significant lead, not really. I mean, there were a couple that, you know, sort of crept into the middle there, 6-7 points, but nothing ridiculous. And so, but the Celtics, they never played D the whole night. They didn't even play it at the end. At least Miami did at the end. The Celtics didn't. I mean, that's pathetic. 56.2%, 48% from three. Like, why even show up?
Okay, back to your thoughts. Mike and Lynn waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. What do you got?
Yeah, I just want to get your guys' thoughts on the, well, you guys answered a lot of my points earlier about the game yesterday. As far as Smart, I mean, he's just jacking up way too many shots. He was 8-for-22, you know, 4-for-13 for threes. The only other person that was worse was Jason Tatum, but at least he had 11 assists, and Smart only had two. So to me, if you're going to be a point guard, you got to facilitate, you got to distribute the ball, which he doesn't seem to do. And so I just want to get your guys' thoughts. Do you think it's something that Ainge and and Stevens can coach into him and say, like, listen, this is your role, or would it be better to ship him out, saying, okay, you can't accept your role, you're not Steph Curry, and put somebody else in charge? Like, the only other person I can think of that's got more seniority would be Jaylen Brown, who's been there for 4 years.
So let me just – I think it's – to me, if I'm the Celtics, I have to change the mix. I have to evolve because I don't think this is the right mix. I don't. And let's also remember quickly – The landscape is going to change. It's about to get harder. I mean, again, Durant's going to be back. Kyrie and Durant, you got to worry about them. And are the Bucks going to add to Giannis? And is Giannis going to have a burr up his ass the way this? Or is Giannis going to go somewhere else? Is he going to go to Miami? All right. So that, like, that's the East. Never mind that. I'm still not now, you know, after watching this, convinced. Even if Miami does nothing, you know, you better get home court, or else I don't know if you're getting past this Heat team. And again, that's assuming the apocalypse ends. Never mind out West, where Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are going to be back and the Warriors are going to be back. Never mind Kawhi Leonard and George are still going to be there and probably motivated and smarting from, you know, just gagging away this thing.
Dallas is getting better.
Dallas is there. I don't know if you get past Denver if you had to go on the road to Denver. You know, so like, I mean, I think this was...
This was kind of their window.
This was your best window.
Oh, yeah. No, it opened for them the way it did for the Bruins. Last year.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it did. No, there's no question about it. Okay. It totally opened up.
So they just can't come back with the same team and marginally improve. I think they got to get a lot better.
Yeah.
And so how do they do that? And something has to happen with the mix there. So to me, it's smarter Jaylen Brown. And because those two to me feel to be like, of all the guys that have loggerheads, it feels like it's those two. And I think Brown is a superior player. Don't get me wrong. Brown's a better player. And has better upside. I also think you get more in return for him. Like, could you get, like, his? I don't think Smart gets you much in return. I really don't. Smart was a free agent. He didn't have much interest in the league. So the teams could have had him for nothing, right? And the Celts sort of lowballed him. Like, it took forever, right? Remember his agent, Happy Walters.
Happy Walters.
Right?
You don't know what you're talking about, Mike. Big boom in business for my client.
it was like crickets. So I don't think you get much in return for Smart. But Brown, Smart, somewhere in there.
To me, it's got to be one. You know, again, I lean smart. I just, you know, I'm reluctant to give up Brown just because of the age and the experience. And I also feel like he and Tatum get along better. Like, Tatum feels to me like he's in sync with Brown. There's sort of a package deal. It's the two of us. We were the high picks. I think they look at Smart as being a different generation. To me, I go Smart. Smart's the guy I move.
Yeah, the caller was saying, too, well, maybe they can coach into him to have him not shoot as much. We've been asking him to do that for years now. Years. It's not going to change.
I mean, as Matt said, this was his sixth year?
Yeah, sixth year.
So it's like, at what point, you are what you are?
He thinks he's a scorer. He thinks he's a scorer. I don't know. Maybe you put Robert Williams with him. Like, I like Gasper's idea, Miles Turner in Indiana. That's not bad. Maybe you put Smart and Williams together and try to get Miles Turner. I don't know. Does that work? Is that too much? I don't know. I'm just telling you something like that.
Matt in the truck. Go ahead, Matt.
What about going after a guy like Andre Drummond?
So, I mean, I like those kind of players. But if Adebayo is sort of your model now, don't you need a little more offense? Does Drummond give you any offense?
Well, I mean, not really, no. I mean, he's a dunker and a defensive player, and he can't make free throws, which is brutal. You just can't have him on the floor at the end of the games. That's part of the problem.
The hole here is, or the miss.
I don't want Drummond. I don't like Drummond's game. I don't want Drummond.
I don't mind those guys.
I don't mind those guys either. But
DeAndre Jordan, Drummond guy, like, I like those guys.
I know, but can you give me someone who can shoot 65% from the line?
I know. Time Lord.
He's sort of the guy.
So, again, this is like, I'm just saying that half sarcastic because I don't want to hear it. Like, this was the perfect series for him. They needed someone to match Adebayo. He should have been the guy. If he's as good as you say he is. And he wasn't even close. Grant Williams got most of those backup minutes. And Daniel Tice, useless defensively. Useless.
I mean, he just got overmatched. He doesn't have the talent to play with those guys. So I'm not here to defend Tice. I'm just telling you, it's almost unfair. He can't play with those guys. He's not good enough. So to me, it is like it's got to be someone like Williams, but with experience who has a clue.
It's a reentry Monday. Celts Pats on the board. Back to your calls after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The snap to Newton with some time in the pocket. Now rolls to his left. Nobody open. Newton tried to direct traffic. He's under pressure by Furl. He throws to the near side. Picked off. Running down the left side for the Raiders across the 20-yard line. Abram with the interception. And the youngster returns it inside the Patriot 15.
Yeah.
Tooney and Mason coming over eventually.
We sit there for 4 hours a day in the midday this week and took calls on his contract extension. But all these writers are saying you got to get done with Newton now after two games. This will quiet that real quick. Cam gets flushed outside. He waits, he wakes, and he makes a bad play worse, trying to force the ball to Izzo, of all people, on the outside there. But no. Two critical mistakes. Down the middle to Edelman, and obviously the pick right there.
Zolak all over Cam Newton. Don't give him his money. And Izzo sucks, too, on top of it.
Izzo, of all people,
the double shot right there.
Tight end's a problem with this team, this offense.
Well, okay, let's just stick with Newton first. He sucked.
He wasn't good.
What a brutal throw that was.
I mean, brutal decision, brutal throw. There were a couple over the middle that he was wide, late, behind.
One of them almost got Edelman killed. They threw into triple coverage.
That might have been what...
Oh, my gosh, that was awful, too. I remember that one.
Right?
Oh, God, was that horrible, that throw. Yeah, he was bad. So, look, again, I'm not shocked. The other thing I noticed, and I felt this during the game, I'd be eager to see what the big boy says tomorrow, Greg Bedard, when we bring him in. Did the Raiders play a lot of press coverage? Because it certainly felt like the Patriots receivers couldn't shake anybody man-to-man. And if that's how I would play him if I were any team in the league. I think Seattle zoned up against him last week. That's typically a zone defense that they play, the Seahawks under Carroll. So did the Raiders look at it and say, no, we're going to man up, and you guys can't beat anybody off the line. And I think they're right.
It wasn't a lot of touch from him. He was gunning the ball. That interception's inexcusable. Just, I don't know, run out of bounds, throw it away. Like, you can't throw that ball. I still couldn't believe that that happened.
And he did it in the end zone once, too. And was it Izzo again?
It was Izzo, yeah. He airmailed him.
Quote, unquote, dropped it. It was through his hands. It was also 140 miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I don't know if I totally put it, but I felt, so look, this was Newton's worst game. And they still won going away, so that's the good news, right?
Correct, Chris? Yes, absolutely, no doubt about it. They didn't need him. I mean, they didn't need him. Their offensive line, once they got rolling, their offensive line dominated. And so they were able to create holes, and the Raiders just got run over. But Newton wasn't good. I mean, he was pretty pedestrian. And I would say he was pedestrian running, too. I mean, there was that one play late where, you know, he scampered and picked up, you know, it had to be, what, 15 yards, maybe more? You know, that was the one I remember. The rest of them, I don't really have much recollection of his runs.
Okay, tight end a problem, Murray?
I think it is, yeah. I don't think Izzo's very good. I remember going back to training camp and Zoe saying that Izzo was probably their best option at that position, which didn't make me feel that great. It looks that way so far. And they draft these two kids in Asiasi and Keen. And Keen's got this injury that he's been held out with these last couple of weeks. So he has yet to see the field. And Asiasi is out there, but all he's doing is blocking. Like, so what happened there? Because I was told that, you know, this kid was really going to be able to help the passing game. So that's another area I think they're going to have to address, whether it's someone on the street or make a trade or something, because they need help there.
I still go defensive front seven first. I do. I'll find way, and I, you know, I'll find, if I can keep the other team down, and I'll take my chances that somehow they'll figure it out on offense, or they run a wide receiver screen, or someone screws up an assignment on the other side, whatever. I'll take my chance. If they can't stop the run, they're porked.
Again, the Raiders averaged just under 6 yards a carry yesterday. Back to your phone. Steve in the car. What do you got for us, Steve?
Guys, I'm going to go against the grain on this with Cam Newton, because I think that he's actually, in a very short window and sample size, has shown that he's been able to adapt to the Patriots' offenses. Yes, he was not great yesterday, but that was not what the offense wasn't based around him yesterday. But he engages players. He's tough as nails and everything else. I really think it's time for the Patriots, because this price is only going to go up. So why don't they turn around right now and offer him the $50 million that they offered a 43-year-old quarterback, which would bring him to probably...
Can we stop you, Steve? 2 years, $50 million. Why would he take that when the franchise number is 35?
He wouldn't, and I wouldn't give it to him if I were them. It's way too early.
I agree.
Way too early. No, 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 no. I can't believe people are even going down this road.
I mean, he has fit in very well. Like, that's, you know, so Maz, yes.
He's the shiny new toy. He looks like the good fit post-Brady when we thought this was going to be a mess going into this season. You can't understand why people are saying lock him up.
Oh, no, I mean, I can understand it, and I'm acknowledging he's been a really nice fit. Like, I mean, I agree. But that doesn't mean now I haul off and give him $25, $30 million a year.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that after watching the Patriots and Belichick for 20 years, fans would say give this guy an extension. And that's the part that surprises me, Murray, because I don't think there's any shot that the Patriots are doing that right now. Zero.
It'd be bad business given his age and injury history. Let him get through the season, see how it looks, and then if you want him, well, you either franchise tag him or then extend him then. There's no reason to do it right now.
So culture fit, you know, was a question I had. He had. By the way, when he first got the call from the Patriots, he said it. How are Bill and I going to mesh? So, you know, the culture fit is, it's a passing grade so far, but let's remember, it was a passing grade after 3 weeks with Moss and Dylan and some of these other guys, and then it went really sour. So that's, you know, but, you know, so far so good. The health thing is a whole nother thing. The way he plays and continues to play, and he does a good job of getting down. He got down a couple of times, right? He ran it right up the gut on one play and got down, you know. Good for him, but still, when you take that many hits, are you going to pay that kind of money for a running quarterback?
No, way too early. Way too early. And again, even if you were to give him some sort of deal, like, you still have a longer-term problem. Like, and I'm not saying you got to do it in 15-year blocks, okay? But it'd be nice if they could develop a quarterback who's 25.
Curtis in the car. You're up next on the Patriots defense.
Gentlemen, the Patriots might have the worst front seven in football. Not only do they need to work on it, it might quite possibly be the worst front seven. The Raiders were down, count them, three offensive linemen yesterday. Three of their starters were out of the game. They were down, so they were, you know, of the five, three, roughly 60 some. The New England's defense is garbage. Gilmore has regressed in ways that aren't even, you know, explicable. He's been dominated by every, you know, number one receiver he's faced all season long. So speaking of which, the Raiders' number one yesterday was Renfro because their two other starting receivers were out. You've played nothing but garbage. Cam Newton's worst game, hands down. And finally, Michael, I called him. I've been calling for a long time. You know whether you guys know that or not.
Oh, I do.
And I said last week about your lack of integrity. I want to take that back. But as far as this Cam Newton thing goes, I stick with it. When is your head going to explode? When you're finally willing to admit you hate this team. Every morning you wake up and it's got to eat you alive because it's antiquated, your favorite word. You hate this team. See, Cam Newton, you hate this team. You just said it. He's a running quarterback. And you're from your own lips. You hate this team.
Curtis, I got you. And I've clarified it many, many times. I don't hate the Patriots team. I hate you. And not you specifically. You've been a good caller and good customer. No, it's not the team. The team's fine. It's you.
It's the collective you.
It's yeah. Patriot Nation. Yes, is what's hateable. The team is fine. I mean, they've had, you know, their foibles and their ups and downs, things to like and dislike like any team. No, it's you. Yeah, no, you're the problem. But I'm all in on them winning without Brady. I mean, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I mean, I think this is playing out just how I wanted it to. It would be better if it were Hoyer because it would really drive it home. But I think it's driving it home, you know, as it is. That might as well have been Brian Hoyer yesterday.
I was going to say that looked like, you know, Jacoby Brissett to me yesterday. That's what I would
think. They got one with anyone.
They got very little out of the quarterback position yesterday. I mean, bad turnover. I mean, how many – he made less than five. Like, I'm the big boy, again, how many plus plays is he going to give him? Like two or three?
Oh, tops.
You know, it's like – so it really could have been any quarterback. And I think you're going to win a lot of games like that this year like you've won in the past. So this year's sort of – I'm actually sort of enjoying this, Curtis. You, I still don't enjoy. A long commercial-free segment is next.
Dugger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Adebayo drives down the lane and the flush. Wow. 26 points, 10 rebounds for Bam Adebayo. The Miami Heat back up by one.
Point center.
Adebayo, count it and one off the dribble. Knocks down the mid-range shot and a chance for a three-point play.
I don't care who guards him. They got to know he's a right-handed player who wants to drive left.
And Grant Williams headed back into this ballgame. That's Tice picking up his fifth foul.
And this has been a terrific response by Miami. Down six. Reeling a little bit.
Nice feed inside and Butler the finish. How about that? Adebayo brings the ball up and sets up Butler beautifully.
A left-hand wraparound pass by your center.
That was a key sequence right there. I mean, Adebayo in the fourth, but it was that. I think it was all within 30 seconds. He takes it to the rim, scores on that two-handed dunk to his left, gets the and one on Tice. And then that wraparound pass to Butler for another easy layup dunk under the basket. All happened within 30 seconds.
MVP of the series. He was the best player in the series, I thought. Now, again, doesn't mean I think, you know. But to me, he was the guy that the Celtics had no answer for, that played the best for Miami beginning to end every game with the exception of game five. And I just think this is an ongoing thing now in the conference. I mean, along with all the other issues the Celtics have, they have a big man problem. And I don't mean their own. I mean what some of the other teams in the conference have.
I just think, and there's a self-awareness problem.
Like, yeah, totally.
Like, do you understand you have a problem? Or is it all, we, you know, is all, they're young and it's just a matter of time. And like, that's why I feel like too many Celtics fans feel. And so like, there's no pressure on the team to make that next step. And I think unless Danny does something, they're not going to make that next step. And that's not beyond just adding a big man. We've played this before, but you know, I think one of the reasons that NBC Sports Boston coverage, at least this year, is valuable, is that with Scal and Kendrick Perkins, I feel like there's a little bit of at least telling it like it is versus, you know, Gorman, God bless his heart, love him to death. He's a team broadcaster, and Tommy, forget about it. So it's like I feel like there's been some sort of realism injected into their commentary. But this goes back to the NBA trade deadline. Scal nailed it, but I've played you this cut before. So the Celtics, of course, do nothing at the NBA trade deadline because Danny can't afford to give up any of those, that effluvium of, you know, first-round draft pick, cash that he has. Okay, so he doesn't want to give anything up, and he doesn't want to, you know, upset the precious chemistry in the locker room, which turned out to suck anyway, by the way. Chucking chairs at each other after a playoff loss last week. But anyway, so this is whatever this is in February, right, Jimmy? And the Celtics do absolutely nothing.
February 7th,
the Celts do absolutely nothing at the trade deadline. Gorman, of course, loves it. And Scal comes in and tells it like it is. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No moves.
Yep.
The Celtics do nothing.
Nothing.
Same roster. Everybody's coming back. No trades. No fireworks.
Couldn't be happier.
Exactly. Couldn't Tell me happy. About it. Why
mess up a good thing? They got a good thing going right now. They're playing better basketball in the last 2 or 3 weeks than they've played in a long time. People are starting to get healthy again. They've still only had, 10, 11 games where they've had everybody together. Why mess this up? I mean, these guys have shown that they can play. I think they're an Eastern Conference final team.
Mm. You agree, Scott?
If Robert Williams gets healthy, then yes, we can have this conversation. But I'm disappointed they didn't get a rim runner. But I got confirmation today that they do expect Robert Williams to come back. Right. They do expect him to be as near to 100%, and they do not expect his hip issue to linger on. This is the one area of concern I have with this team. Having a rim running big just adds another tool to the belt, and now you can run offense just a little bit differently when you have certain type of defensive centers on the floor.
So who's the rim running big that was out there that
Capella,
they didn't get?
Capella.
Sorry, he wanted Capella, but he nailed it. That's how you lost that series.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, again, and I'll tell you what, like I even would have taken just a guy off the bench who could give you, I don't know, 8 points, 10. I'd have taken that. They got outscored off the bench in the second half last night, 20-4. For the game, it was 34-17. So you lost by, what, a dozen?
And again, not that this was like Michael Jordan for the series or anything, but Iguodala was a factor last night.
Well, he was. And so, like, I look at a guy like Iguodala now, and look, it you know, hindsight is 20/20. Okay, but when you look at it and say, well, you lost Hayward, could you have used Iguodala in that spot? I mean, and I know the Celtics would have said, well, how many wings do you want us to get? I mean, but I would tell you, well, Iguodala is a better defensive player. Clearly, he's not a great shooter, but he made him last night. So I just feel like the loss to Miami happened back at the deadline. That's where I focus on it.
Okay, back to your phones here. As promised, let's grab Eric in Worcester. He's been waiting patiently on the Celts. Hi, Eric.
How you doing? The Celtics, they just miss open layups like Hayward and the center. I just want to know, how would you feel about making a trade to the Lakers? Because half of those are free agents. How about you get rid of Gordon and send Daniel Tice to Lakers for Marquise Morris, JaVale McGee, and a sharpshooter Cook that used to.
Okay, let me, Eric, stop you. They're not going to make a trade with their hated rival, but a lot of those guys are free agents out there. Go ahead.
I wish they would get rid of Hayward. I mean, he's going to opt in, but I mean, you see last night, like, hey, I give him all the credit in the world for not going home and you know, seeing the birth of his son, his first son, but he's injured, and he looked like his head wasn't in it these last couple of games.
I mean, I thought he got worse as the series went along. I mean, all, you know, these people who said, and was it, did Gary Washburn report he had nerve damage?
I was just looking it up that Washburn reported that he had something else with the ankle that affected him. He was basically playing on one foot.
He couldn't go side to side. He was 3 of 10 from the floor, a couple of bad turnovers. He didn't look healthy. He didn't look like he was there mentally. Maz is right. He got worse as the series went on.
I mean, the defense was a joke, too. I thought Miami was attacking him when he was on the floor.
Said Gordon Hayward was supposed to make a difference, but he was hardly 100%, and that affected the Celtics' approach. According to an NBA source, Hayward sustained nerve and I'm not even going to try and pronounce that word, Mass. Nerve damage in that sprained ankle, and he could barely jump. He needed about 2+ more weeks of rehab that the Celtics just didn't have, so he played on one leg. Like, this is, I'm not getting on him. And again, I have a lot of respect for he and Robin and his family and, you know, sacrificing like he sacrificed for the team. That was, you know, I have a lot of respect for that. But he is someone who does not come back well from injury. There's always something else. It's always a lag time. He's never quite the same. And, man, you know, they could have used him, it looks like, in this series. I mean, I didn't think that was the case, but it was never going to happen.
No, and look, you said this early on. You weren't expecting anything from him.
Zero.
The fact that they gave him anything, that he gave him anything at all in game three, that was, right?
Yep.
So it was, you know, a borderline miracle in retrospect. Remember people saying, well, he needs the time to rest? It didn't matter. He got the extra time between games, and it still didn't help. His health got worse as the series went along.
Mike in Danvers, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Great show. Listen, Michael, coaching, Michael. If you go back and you watch that game, watch the little period of time where Robert Williams got in the game and see how he changed Antetokounmpo's shot and everybody else's shot that was coming through the middle. He doesn't have to be a great player, Mike, but if you're going to defend the three, that means they're going to drive the lane. You need someone in there to at least put a hand in your face and change your shot.
So
I don't know why he didn't put Williams back in the game in the second half. I just think it was a bad coaching decision.
Grant Williams or Robert Williams?
Robert, he's talking Robert.
You're talking. They played Grant. So Robert Williams lost minutes to Grant Williams. So that's on Time Lord. That's not on Stevens. And Grant Williams actually did a little something there.
Yeah, they played well during that stretch.
And Stevens went bigger as the series went on. You know, there was, it felt like the very little of that small lineup, you know, whether it was Cantor or Tice or Williams, you know, there was usually one of those guys in there. And I think that was, you know, an evolution. That was a big second guess on Friday, right? When they won game.
Not playing Cantor.
It's like Cantor made such a difference on Friday night. You said, well, where the hell was that in game four? Why'd you go away from Cantor in game four? Because Cantor was big in game three. He was at mothballs in game four. And then came back in game five and made a real difference. It's like, well, why did you ever sit him for that one game?
Great question.
I mean, that is a legit second guess for Stevens, how he handled the big man rotation.
So I think they were just worried about the defense, is my guess, because Cantor can't play D.
Well, neither can Tice.
Well, so right. So that's the thing, is no matter how you look at it, they were playing musical chairs in there. They were trying to piece it together, and the other side actually had a player that could play both ends of the floor, so now they're porked. So, and I'm not putting the whole series on that either, by the way. They still should have been in more than they were. So fine, let Adebayo get the twos. Let him get them. So what? Don't give up the threes and hang in there and find a way to win it at the end. Win it that way. But they crap their pants. That stretch at the end of the game, tell me you weren't looking at it. We all did the same thing.
So panicky.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable. Miami would come down and score. Then get the two to get the four. Then go four, go to seven. And the Celtics started just chucking threes. You know, dribble over the half court line, three steps, bomb.
Panic sandwich.
Oh, they did. They totally unraveled. Completely, absolutely unraveled. It happened so fast, they got dizzy. It was like they all got vertigo. They were spinning so fast.
Celtics lost. Patriots win. Even the Red Sox firing the manager. If you want to take a nibble on that, you can. It's a re-entry Monday. Everything's on the table. Right back to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do. The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.